Hey everyone, thank you for joining us. Good to see you all. And we're on the road, Madeline and I. You want to say, show yourself?
Hello.
All right. Okay, so we'll go ahead and jump right in. So this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's Wednesday, January 1st, 2025. This is our first Thursday of the month, although this month it's on the first Wednesday, which is our World Peace Meditation. As you all know, this runs a maximum of 1 hour, and it's devoted to the underlying ideas of the World Peace Diet, of veganism, and freedom for all beings, and liberation from the delusion of animal agriculture, and it's focused especially on the spiritual dimension, not so much on the political side of things. Although, as Gandhi reminded us, he said, anyone who says that religion is not political or that spirituality is not political doesn't understand spirituality or politics. So there is certainly a lot of interconnection there on some level, but we save that really for our third Thursday gathering. All right, so angels here, aloha. We have to say aloha for everybody who's coming from the islands. And we're delighted to see you all. Thanks for being flexible. I apologize for any difficulties with changing the day, the evening. And we'll go ahead and let's see, I'm visiting my wife in the hospital. Oh, fractured pelvis. Wow. Yes, I understand, Keith. Thank you so much for joining us from the hospital there being there for your wife. That's beautiful. So thank you. All right. So I hope you can hear me okay. If there's any other technical things or anything at all, feel free to use the chat. That's turned on. And we'll go ahead and jump right in. So, as you know, we like to begin our time together with a meditation, and we're sans piano here, or as they say in Germany, ohne piano, or without piano, in English. So let's feel free, if you'd like, to turn your attention within as we join in our time of meditation. Then following the meditation, we can open it up for any questions or concerns you may be having. As we go into the second quarter of 21st century. Okay, so let's begin. As we come together in consciousness, we feel our connection with the beautiful planet that we are abiding on during this incarnation, apparently. So just taking a moment now to give thanks together for this beautiful earth and not only the enormous beauty and variety and magnificent power and fecundity and genius that obviously this earth is manifesting and supporting for what's beyond the earth, the spiritual power that manifests as this earth, and the intelligence and love and wisdom that undergirds all of creation, that is literally infinite, far beyond what we can ever imagine or comprehend with our human minds. Giving thanks for the opportunity to be here during these exciting, adventurous times on planet Earth, critical times, giving thanks for the spiritual reality that shines through all the appearances beyond and transcending them, giving thanks for the spark within each one of us of wisdom and compassion that we can feed with our yearning to awaken, that we can build and nurture as a blessing not only to ourselves and our loved ones, but as a blessing to all living beings. And we give thanks to the whole community of our friends and neighbors and colleagues who are close to us and who are also doing the best they can to navigate situations and to bring light and joy and freedom, abundance and awareness into our world, knowing that we each have our unique perspectives and capacities and abilities and talents that we are using. And we give thanks for all the teachings that have come down from the ancient wisdom traditions that remind us of the infinite interconnectedness of all life, that remind us of the infinite loving kindness and compassion that undergird everything, and that remind us that it is our unique and sacred responsibility to unfold our lives in the unique way that we are here to unfold them, to unfold to higher understanding, and not to allow our consciousness to be deceived and harmed by the illusions and the delusions that are so rampant during this time. So we give thanks for all the living beings we refer to as animals, as they celebrate their lives here and do their best to fulfill their unique missions. We give thanks for their light and for their example in so many ways of loyalty and intelligence and vivacity and countless other qualities. We give thanks for all those who have gone before us, all our ancestors, the worthies that have made it possible for us to be here, and those who are yet to come, that we are in many ways tuned in, perhaps with our inner wisdom, to the future version of ourselves that has more fully developed our capacities. That in many ways time is an illusion of our senses. So we acknowledge that and do our best to understand the deeper significance of this unique incarnation that we have. And we give thanks also for all of those who are getting close to the great change that we refer to as death, for their lives as they move on, both humans and non-humans. Send our love to them, support through all these changes that are happening. And as we enter this new cycle, a new yearly cycle, and a new cosmic cycle in many ways, we give thanks knowing that human consciousness is rising, that the vibration is getting finer and more awake and aware in spite of all of the repression and oppression, that we are unstoppably evolving to a higher state of awareness. And we see this manifesting in our lives as individuals and in our life together. And we give thanks knowing that beyond the outer world of appearances, there is the incorporeal reality, that what we are was never born and will never die, can never die. We are eternal consciousness. And we're manifesting an appearance for a certain apparent length of time. And we have all the capacities of intuition and wisdom, awareness, joy, freedom, creativity, understanding, vitality, abundance. These are our inherent qualities. We don't need to get them from outside of ourselves. Just simply need to be quiet and learn to listen within. So let's do that for a moment together. Just listen within, breathing together with a small smile on our face of gratitude for this precious moment. Savoring this precious moment. A family of consciousness. We can visualize now just the light at the very heart of the universe, just shining down through the crown of our head and just filling our whole body with light. Just feel our body now as a radiant stream of light from the top of our head all the way down through our head and shoulders and arms and torso, pelvic region, and legs and feet, and just this light is streaming out through our hands and feet, washing away any impurities or delusions, cleansed of all physical toxins, mental, emotional toxins. What we are is a pure vehicle for loving kindness and compassion to come streaming through for the benefit of all beings. Abiding in this awareness that we are vehicles of light in this incarnation, that's our true nature. And we see this light now shining through every living being, the light of love and awareness and wisdom. And the entire planet Earth glowing with the light of creativity and celebration and beauty. And finally, we join in the meditation on the four infinite aspects of our true nature. So just breathing and radiating love and kindness, benevolence and goodwill in all directions. With every inhalation, just filling up our heart with love. And with every exhalation, radiating love in all directions to all living beings. Breathing and radiating love. To everyone, without exception, to all living beings, and especially also to the being we call ourself, this unique and beautiful being that we are. Breathing and radiating love and abiding in our true home of love and benevolence. And with every inhalation, engendering in our heart the feeling of compassion, our true nature of not only yearning that others be free from suffering, but also yearning to act, to make a positive difference in the world, so that we can help decrease the suffering in the world. So with every exhalation, radiating this compassion to all living beings, to be a light of compassion, breathing and radiating compassion in all directions for all beings. May all beings be free from suffering and abiding in our true home of compassion. With every inhalation, engendering in our heart the feeling of joy, the joy that is our true nature, spontaneously manifesting. And as we exhale, we radiate joy to every living being, letting it just overflow from the fullness of our own hearts and minds, the joy of being. May all beings be bathed in the light of joy, the truth of joy. And see the whole world filled with joy and happiness. And finally, dropping a little deeper into our consciousness and connecting with the peace and harmony that are always there like a great ocean at the very foundation of our being. The peace of knowing the truth of our true nature as eternal life, undamageable by anything in this world, as the sky is undamageable by clouds. And with every exhalation now, just radiating peace to every living being, to all the human beings and animals and all other beings in all directions. Abiding in peace, radiating peace. And now just seeing our beautiful globe, the earth, this beautiful blue-green being, and see the truth of peace manifested at every level. Giving thanks for this. So abiding in our true home, abiding in loving kindness, in compassion, in joy, and in peace. Breathing and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. Okay, wonderful. Thank you all. Let's slowly come back now to our shared experience together through our consciousness, which has manifested this Zoom apparatus that we're connected with. And open our eyes and see each other. If you'd like to turn on your screen, feel free, either way. All right, so I hope you can hear me okay. You know, I'm a little bit far away from my microphone. It's not the best setup here in the world, but anyway. Sorry, Susan, I guess you're having trouble hearing. But yeah, turn up the volume. All right, so thanks, everyone. We're delighted to be able to somehow pull this off, to have our gathering as we live on the road, traveling in our little microvan, which is doing great. And we are here in South Florida, where we've been giving some lectures and concerts at Hippocrates Health Institute. We were here last night for their annual vegan dinner that they opened to the public, and we had a huge crowd come in. I think about 250 people showed up, which was amazing. And then there was dancing afterwards and fireworks, just briefly. And they have a kind of a very celebratory flair here at Hippocrates. So it was very, it was great. Lisa Wong joined us. It was good to have her there. She's right here in the area, and some other wonderful people. And we've been giving, we gave a concert on Sunday, and we're giving a lecture tomorrow on the keys to healthy relationships. Natalie and I will be doing that together. So it's terrific to meet people from all walks of life and from many different countries. We had a nice conversations today with people from Romania and I think from other countries, as well as from different cities in the United States. It's a real gathering spot. People have health issues, and it kind of brings them together. Or some people are more come here just because they would like to have a healthy retreat. And either way, but we're just getting kind of settled in. We've only been here for about 10 days now, and so it's going very well. So I'd love to hear if anyone has any thoughts or questions or concerns or anything about anything, regarding the world situation, especially more or less from the somewhat spiritual orientation. I think we're in a very powerful time in between, like in the United States anyway, between these two administrations. And so there's all this feeling of, out with the old, in with the new, right? Yeah, let's out with the old, in with the new. And I think people are a lot of people are excited about the possibilities, especially I think with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And others also, not just him, but, that kind of sense of bringing the idea of healthy living, getting that conversation more mainstream. It's kind of been ignored for forever. We, as vegans, we've been trying to get people to talk about this, and nobody wants to, of course, and not in the mainstream media because they don't make any money from healthy people. So we'll see. Who knows if any of this will come to pass, if he'll be accepted and if he'll survive and everybody else. But something's happening. So it's, I think, a very exciting time. I wasn't there last night, but our good friend we know here in West Palm Beach went to Mar-a-Lago, and he was there at the New Year celebration with Donald Trump and everybody. I'll have to ask him how it went, because it's kind of hard to imagine. I think that he said the big main room holds about 700 people, so it was quite a big feast they had. Who knows? But anyway, Gino, you have your hand up, so bless you. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to everyone this year and beyond.
Yeah.
This year, we're thinking like big time, the next
time. Can you hear me here on this mic?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Happy New Year, Will and Lisa and everyone here I see. Let's make it wonderful. And a beautiful meditation. I'd like to bring up the subject of balance. And, all the words that you said in the meditation are so beautiful. They resonate with me deeply. I try to practice them often. I have a couple of other practices that bring me to that a lot. I'm noticing that when I'm interacting with people, just generally, it's just beautiful experience. And I think, this must be because I have changed.
Yeah.
So it's really good. But then I think, I think the word balance, there's so much involved in it, depending on what you do in the world. And I'd like to open up for people to say, what do they think balance is? And no matter what you're doing, if you're an activist or a grocery store owner, whatever you are, what is balance in this crazy mayhem world? And then also bringing in all the spirituality that you brought to us at the beginning.
Beautiful. That's a very exciting, I think, a valid question, balance, especially nowadays and when we seem to be so unbalanced. So I would love to hear if anyone would like to respond to Gino's question about how do you find balance in your life, or what do you feel are the obstacles to living a balanced life, and what does it actually look like? What actually has to be balanced? I mean, those are all great questions. Balancing what with what, right? I mean, because we make choices every moment, and our life is a result of our choices. So we have to balance. We have to find balance. So does anyone want to respond to that? I think it's a really intriguing question. Or any insights anybody has, or any confusion about it?
I can just offer up my example. We're always talking about doing the inner work, for one, and that creates balance no matter what you're doing in life. And I straddle the line of, I'm very, like a lot of my music is social activism. I really want to make a point. Sometimes it's very hard, but true hard stuff that I don't want people to forget, whether it was in the past or it's now. I just finished a very old folk tune with powerful videos and a powerful poem that I read at the end. That's an example of one thing I do with my music. I have not been feeling physically up to par where, I'm out there marching and doing all the stuff for the animals right now. But when I was, there was a lot going on. And I had to find a way to balance myself to be happy, healthy, and effective in the world. So whatever it is you do, I think it's essential, and it's essential to, I'll just say from my point of view, to live from your soul. You are all of that wonderful stuff. So live it.
Yeah. And for me, it's, I guess when I think about balance, I've gone through different stages in my life where, I think in my younger years, when people talked about positive qualities, like they talk about love, peace, freedom, harmony, balance. And when they said balance, I rebelled. I said, no. I want to be just unbalanced. I want to be radical. I just want to forget balance. No more balance. I want to go all the way, throw caution to the winds, and just get enlightened. I'm not going to get
burn the churches down. Burn him down.
Just kidding.
I said, burn the churches down. Burn him.
Well, no, not for me. It was more. It wasn't like I didn't have any sort of. It didn't feel like it was anger. It was more like.
Yeah.
The only way we get somewhere is by just throwing ourselves fully into it, and being very unbalanced. Like the great geniuses, the people that really created, like Beethoven or Whitman, or they were like way out of balance. Like they just lived for one thing, like their music or their spiritual path. Like the great sages, they were like. They didn't care if they lived or died. They didn't even care if they ate. They just wanted to glorify God or whatever. They were like extremely unbalanced on one level. They just said, this is it. That's all I care about. And but on the other hand, I'm not that person anymore. So that was
right.
When I was younger. And I feel now more. The wisdom of what you're saying, the wisdom of balance, because there's a time for really just throwing ourselves into things and being kind of out of balance, like letting other things go, just sort of not worrying about where the money's going to come from or worrying about relationships or whatever, just really focusing on something. But then there's a time when that's maybe no longer the right thing. Right? So I think in a lot of ways, everybody has we all have our own rhythm and we all have our own unique journey. And again, one person's balance might be somebody else's be totally out of balance. But what I feel when I hear your question nowadays is how do I become less damaged by cultural baloney that, having all this stuff to do, to keep things going in the outer world and have enough time and energy for the spiritual dimension and really balancing the spiritual with the temporal, because the temporal seems to take over, I think, so much. And we don't have in our society, I don't think, enough honoring, enough balance, really enough bringing in the things that really nurture, like you're saying, nurture our soul. It's so much easier to spend time with details, with, you know, all these outer things, whatever they are, and very little time with really the inner stuff. And so for me, it's that, I would say, that I feel more called to try to give more balance in my life.
Yeah, just one quick correction, Will. You said cultural baloney. I think maybe cultural rice cakes or something would be better.
we had vegan, what was it that we had last night? Vegan hot dogs or something like that. You can vegan baloney. let's see, Susan, you have your hand up there. I'd like to contribute something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I listened to, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah.
I listened to your interview, Will, with that Golden Rule podcast that was like you just recently posted. A guy named James, anyway.
James Duncan. James Duncan. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, and to Gino's point a little bit, it was like he asked Will about the Louis Mangione thing and about, you know, the people who are so happy that the CEO got killed. And Will's explanation was, you know, that we have to look at, you know, when we have these really bad leaders, how do we get these really bad leaders? We get them because we're the ones that are voting them in. And so that was really helpful because, you know, you struggle. We know we don't believe in violence, and yet I guess, you know, a lot of people have a lot of feelings behind that topic. And so they're saying that they're glad he killed someone. So it really takes you back to, like, well, what do we do in this situation? And so, you know, that was very balancing for me to have you explain that, Will, to say we are responsible. And you know, it takes me into, like, all this stuff about how do people just be really good civic members. I mean, to be a civic member is to, you know, say, well, what is our responsibility? What are we creating with our leaders? And I just want to say, and I guess it's not really apropos what you're talking about, Gino, but the thing is, like with these Trump posters and my Bobby posters, I don't want to put them down. I don't want them to be taken down until Trump gets into office on January 20th, because he's not in office yet. And you know what? People just, you know, they're out there waving and everything when it comes for November. But when November's gone, then everything stops and we stop being civic participants. And, so anyway, that's my contribution. And thank you. That was a really good topic. Thanks, Will. If you could say more about that, I'd appreciate it. And
Okay. Also,
I might as well say while I'm talking, that if you want to say more about what discipline is, I'd appreciate that too. It's in chapter 6 of The World Peace Way. You coined the term discipline. So you know that, you know? So nobody else is talking about that, but that's a new word, and I thought you might want to talk about that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I'll just say a couple of quick words. You know, that I really thought that interviewer, James Duncan, I had never done anything with him before, but he's really good, I think. He's got a very deep, he's read all my books. He said that the day before we did the interview, he finally finished the third book, The World Peace Way. So he's very familiar with everything, which says a lot about him. You know, he's not just wanting someone and doesn't know their work. And I think, you know, when he asked about that whole incident of killing the insurance CEO, the main point is similar to what you're saying, but the basic thing is that we, as the human beings in our society, are responsible ultimately for the quality of our leaders, you know, for those who are sort of running things. And we tend to think that we don't have good, we have corrupt leaders, or we have leaders that aren't as good as they should be. No, they're always as good as they should be. Because, you know, as I say quite a bit, actually, in Food for Freedom, you know, most of the people in our society are voting every day for killing animals by the, you know, by the millions. I mean, they're just voting to sexually abuse them and kill them and take away their rights and take away their health and take away their freedom. So, again, why, what gives us the notion that we deserve to have these very evolved, kind, loving leaders that would never do such things to us when we do it, when we think nothing about doing it to other beings? So it's the principle of reciprocity, which really pervades, I think, the universe. It's one of the fundamental, I think there's, I write about that in Food for Freedom, there's like three or four underlying principles: the principle of interconnectedness, that everything is interconnected, and the principle of reciprocity, whatever we sow, we will reap. So we, you know, this, we can't avoid that. And so if we're going to insist on sowing these seeds of domination and exploitation of the weak by the strong, well, there's people that are stronger than us, they're going to do that to us because we're doing it to others who are weaker. And so these are spiritual teachings, but they play out with uncanny and, I would say, just inevitable, with an inevitability. They just, it's going to happen, and it is happening. So instead of cursing so-called leaders, we should be working on trying to uplift the consciousness of the collective, right, of all of us. And I understand, you know, that in many ways the so-called leaders are in a position to create educational systems and create media and all of that that makes us, that sort of dumbs us down and makes us victims. But no, like Thoreau said, out there on Walden, he said, one awakened human being is enough to transform the system. And I think we have to understand that each one of us has enormous power and potential, and not buy into the idea that we're victims of our society. We have, you know, that weakens us. And so we are in control of how we respond to whatever's happening. We maybe can't change what's happening, but we can change our, we can always change our response to it, right? So that's the key. That's great power in that. There's enormous power in our ability to respond. So maybe we're being attacked by deception in the media and so forth, and maybe by authorities in various ways. But how do we respond? We have an infinite variety of potential responses, and the more we awaken our potential, I think the better we can respond. So there's a lot we can talk about with this, but that actually ties in with your second question, blissipline, right? So replace the D with a BL, so we have the word bliss. So, because the underlying idea is that discipline is something negative. You know, you're going to go sit in the corner because I'm disciplining you for your bad behavior. You know, and so we have this feeling of discipline as being this thing we don't want to have inflicted upon us. And the whole idea is that discipline, really healthy self-discipline, is the absolute most precious key to the kingdom of freedom, joy, love, awareness, and everything else. And without it, we live in hell, really. I mean, it's just without being able to discipline our actions and our words and our thoughts, we are what? We're just flowing with the program, right? The cultural program that's been basically injected into us, and it's a program based on animal agriculture. I mean, based on a whole whole nest of delusions. Of separateness from nature and all these things, all these just this disconnectedness, really. So having a discipline that's what meditation is, really. It's practicing, bringing our mind back to this present moment, and practicing loving speech with other people, and practicing taking time every day to connect with nature, and practicing being creative somehow with what we're doing in our life. And, you know, these are practices that we, you know, veganism you know, veganism as a discipline, really. I mean, you know, to actually say, well, you know, I feel like a burger today, you know, or whatever. And it's no, we're not doing that. You know, we can do it. We can say, oh, heck with it. I don't want to be disciplined. I want to be free. A lot of people in the New Age movement, especially, or spiritual people, they think, you know, spirituality means you don't need to have discipline anymore. You can just be spontaneous. But that's true. But the only way you get to that level is through discipline, quite honestly. I think so. If we, when we get to the level where our vibratory level is high enough, then we don't have to worry about disciplining ourselves. But that's a level most people are far from that level. And to pretend that we are, I mean, that's pretending, and there's so much pretending going on. So I think really for most of us, we're at the level of discipline. But it's not heavy. You know, it's bliscipline. I mean, it's joyful. It's like, it's the greatest thing. I mean, I love being, people say, oh gosh, you're a vegan. Don't you miss eating a burger? Don't you miss having a, I mean, it's like so ridiculous, so fun, it's laughable. And the thing is, when you give up the lower for the higher is so much more rewarding and so much more joy producing that there's no desire for the lower. And what I see happening in our society is there's this massive, temptation, I guess you'd say. I mean, just trying to bring everybody down, tempting us with animal-based foods and alcohol and drugs and violence and you know, flaunting our sexuality in some way. I mean, all kinds of things to turn everything into an object and to manipulate and to see each other as objects and to try to escape from the reality of the present moment, which is actually beautiful if we actually are aware of it. So, so I love the word bliscipline. Natalie and I both, I thought of that, it was like, what a great word, you know, it's a pathway to real bliss, to real joy. Now, I've said it before, but I'll just say it again. And Gino, I'm sure, and any of you who are musicians, you can relate to this. You know, there was a time when you, maybe like for me when I was younger, it was a discipline to practice the piano, right? It was like, oh, I want to go out and play, but I'm going to practice, you know. And yet that discipline just opens doorways to bliss. It does, to being able to create and to manifest. So that's the thing. I mean, the discipline of healthy living opens up so many more doorways that then we have vitality and we can share that with other people. So it's also compassionate, I think, to others to engage in discipline. Because if I don't engage in discipline, of these things, then I'm saying things that harm others. I'm doing things that harm others. I'm creating more misery and violence to others too. It's not just to myself; it's to others, and it boomerangs back. Everything boomerangs back. So the whole idea is to create a virtuous circle, where the more we're loving, the more love comes back. And, you know, that idea, right? I mean, that's really how it is, ultimately. And we get tested all the time. From reciprocity, maybe from past lifetimes or who knows what, but the whole idea is how do we respond to the situation that we have now? And we see it happening. I think we see lots of interesting things happening in the world, and I have to say I have a good feeling. I think all in all, the more we do our best to speak the truth as we see it, the more the doors will open to a better world for all of us. So thanks for your all the efforts you're making there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. it's really important. Anyone else? We have we have a few minutes still. We don't. We can end a little early if everyone feels complete, but then I'm willing to go a little longer. We have kind of a busy schedule here the next couple of days. So, but if anyone has anything else you'd like to add or ask, feel free to do so. Or add, you know, something about the balance question also. That's a good one.
Will, this is Anne.
Yes.
Yeah. There's something I've been wondering about for a while, a long time actually. it just seems so curious to me that the approach, the traditional, like, Christian religious approach seems to be that it, you know, requires this acceptance of Christ as the only way. And I just was particularly aware of that when the election was going on, and remember when Kamala was having a rally and some guy yelled, "Christ is king," and she pretty much helped him find his way out of it. And I just thought, good for you. Yeah, I just like, I love that that guy did that. And I, in a way that quite appeals to me, the sort of passion toward this Jesus Christ person. There's something quite beautiful about that, actually, especially in times when it just seems that there are rogue satanic forces in, you know, seeming to have the upper hand often. But yet I've never in my life been able to subscribe to that, because it cannot be down to one figure who represents that light for us, for humanity. Do you know what I mean? It just seems very limiting. So I just wonder if you have any thoughts about that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ann. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I remember when that happened, and I think that, you know, I think Kamala Harris made a big mistake.
Oh, yes.
Doing that, like from a point of view of not only politically, but also in other ways as well. You know, it sort of showed this contempt, really, for spirituality, or for the, at least for the idea that there's something beyond this world that is more powerful than we are. You know, that we can be in service to a positive force.
I love that,
because I think, you know, Jesus, whatever you want to say about Jesus, I mean, he epitomizes symbolically love, right? Love and peace. I mean, even if you don't like him, I mean, there is that symbol. He represents that force of spirituality, of spiritual love and healing and peace and so forth, even for, I think, for non-atheists, really. For me, it's an interesting, you know, I've struggled with this for decades, and I'm really glad. I used to teach college courses in comparative religion and look at the different religious traditions and the different ways they emphasize salvation. And in Christianity, of course, it seems quite narrow, according to some traditions in Christianity, that there's only one way to salvation, and it's through a particular interpretation of Jesus Christ, that he was the only Son of God, you know, that idea. He's the only Son of God. And I think that that's, you know, that's kind of an exclusivist approach. But the underlying idea, I think, is that that there is this bigger force, the Christ, I would call it the Christ, the eternal nature, that is our true nature of all of us, and that is King, right? I mean, that's the power, and in that we're all one, we are all united, right? We're all united at the higher level. It's like my old Zen teacher used to tell this kind of a joke. He'd say, you know, there was pumpkin plant in a garden, and all the pumpkins were arguing with each other as to which was the most beautiful pumpkin. You know, and there was one pumpkin said, "Well, I'm more a beautiful kind of orange color than you are," and another pumpkin said, "Well, yeah, but I'm bigger than you, and you don't have a very nice shape." And they were all kind of arguing with each other, and they finally, they talked to the owl up in the tree, and they said, "Hey, owl up there, looking down at all of us, you know, you can see all of us, you know, tell us, you know, which is the most beautiful of all the pumpkins?" And the owl looked down at all the pumpkins, and he said, "Well, I think what you should do is just look up at the top of your head and see where that leads you." And so they all looked up, and they could see there was this little vine up here. And he said, "I just follow that vine." So they followed the vine. So then they realized that all of the, every little vine went to one big vine. And then they suddenly realized in this historical moment of pumpkin epiphany that it was just one life. They were all like one being and they were fighting with each other. It was like, oh, well, and they just thought, you know, they saw that it was a big joke. And it's the same with us. I mean, we look at each other, we think we're separate, you know. And when he says, you know, Christ is king, it's like, that's the vine, right? It connects all of us. There's only one life. You know, we should be like loving each other and enjoying each other and cooperating and, you know, having a good time. What the heck? What's this, all this fighting and competing, ridiculous stuff? And that's really, I think, the foundational teaching in all the world religions, however they come to it. And, you know, the actual salvation comes, like in the Christian tradition, like you surrender to that higher power. In the Buddhist tradition, you realize and awaken to that, in a sense, the Buddha nature, you know. And in yoga, it's the same thing. You join with it and so forth. But, you know, that's the underlying idea, and that's really the way out of the endless maze of suffering, which is unavoidable. As long as we think we're these separate pumpkins, you know, all kind of like competing with each other, that's called samsara, which is suffering that never ends. And the real teaching is seeing that there's one life that lives through all of us. And so I think it's not surprising in many ways that it's really been the in many, not always, but somewhat the more Christian people have been the ones that are more willing to resist the tyranny that's been happening. And it's more the others that have been more willing to embrace it. You know, it's kind of interesting. But on one level, it makes sense. And, you know, it's really, I think, getting back to these fundamental principles, like the virtues. You know, I wrote an article, it's in the book, The World Peace Way, the seven deadly sins and the seven heavenly virtues. And, you know, this is an old Christian teaching, but it's universal and it's the same thing. You know, the religions always taught us to cultivate the virtues and to try to, in a sense, grow beyond or suppress the seven deadly, you know, the sinful behavior that brings us away from awareness. So I certainly don't approve or subscribe myself to some, quite a few actually, of the Christian doctrines like eternal hell and heaven. I think that's a mistake. And it's kind of interesting. I think if you study the original what happened at the Council of Nicaea, where they were deciding, you know, because the Emperor Constantine said, you know, just decide what your church doctrines are. We'll make you the religion for the whole empire. You know, just get it straight. You know, and so they had this big meeting and they voted, like, is Jesus a great prophet or was Jesus the only son of God? You know, and it was like by one vote, they said, well, yeah, Jesus was the son of God. Okay, that's it. Anybody who disagrees, you know, now you're going to burn in hell forever. You know, it was just, they just voted on it, like a consensus kind of thing. So I think it wasn't even consensus. But anyway, I think just to understand that some of these so-called doctrines have been put in place to maybe, so the church has more power, not necessarily to help people spiritually, and to get to the real helpful spiritual nuggets of truth that can bring us together, not to fight over these differences more than we have to, but to try to see that we're basically going in the same direction and see the commonality and honor and respect each other and talk about things. You know, I think that I like that new saying, debate, don't hate. You know, that kind of rhymes, you know. Less debating, you know, less hating, more debating. You know, like, talk about things. Let's talk. That's one thing that's really bothered me, is that when I've come out strongly in favor of questioning vaccines and masking and climate change and all that stuff, no one has ever said, let's talk about it. They've just said, cancel, cancel, cancel. We can't allow you to ever say that again. You know, I mean, let's I'd love to have a debate. Someone wants to really talk, let's put it out there on the table and talk about it. And no one ever wants to do that. So anyway, I think the same thing is true with spiritual ideas. You know, let's talk about them. And then when we understand it better, you know, because people say, like Christians say, well, you worship the Buddha. You know, like you're worshiping some other. And it's like, no, this has got nothing to do with worshiping some outer deity. You know, this is actually trying to just awaken the inner enlightened nature that's already present. It's very similar to what we refer to as the Christ, perhaps we could call the cosmic Christ in Christianity, and the idea that we have this root inside of us that can resonate with that. And Jesus said a lot of those, you know, gave a lot of those teachings. Know ye not that ye are gods, he said. And he said quite a few things. Greater things that I do will you do, and so forth. So there's quite a few, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. You know, these ideas can turn us, I think, to a foundation where we have the possibility of overcoming the differences. Because the human mind is always trying to make differences, and out of that we create fighting. And this has happened not just here. I'm reading a book now about the politics of Buddhism in ancient China, and similar things happen. How the emperor wanted to bring Buddhism and make that the state religion, but he wanted to, you know, but the monks had a saying: a monk will never bow to a king. And the king was like, no, you better bow to me. So there's always this tension. Then the Buddha said, we're gonna just separate ourselves, you know, be outside of the politics, you know. But the emperor said, no, you're not outside. I'm the emperor here. You know, so there's always been this tension between, you know, politics and religion, and among, you know, between power and spirituality. And again, I think what really solves it, what really brings the solution, is authentic spiritual awakening on the part of individual human beings. When we as individual human beings actually awaken our consciousness, and we see that there's one life living through all of us, that what I am is not a fundamentally separate self needing to struggle against others to get what I want, and we actually live from that space, then we're worthy, finally, of a whole different world. And I think that world, we probably won't even need government at all, right? I mean, government will be, which is really based on violence. We would be, you know, we respect each other, we get along. So, but we're not anywhere near that level. But I think it's good to have that as an ideal, you know, that we can attain. And this is the ideal, I think, what Jesus talked about. I mean, you know, the real church would be something like that. It would be when, in the Buddhist traditions, the Sangha, it's people living together in harmony with a common spiritual foundation. And we can just do, you know, it seems like we're very far from that right now. But we're definitely not going to get there through technology. It has to come from, I think, from our spiritual efforts that we make to do that. So that's a lot of words. Maybe too many. Did that help at all, Anne, in your question?
Yes. No. It helped a lot. Just.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I mean, I think it's narrow-mindedness. It's see that must be that particular historical figure.
And yeah.
It's universal. You know.
Right, right.
Yeah, that helped a lot. I appreciate that, Will.
Great. Well, we're pretty much at our appointed time. So let's go ahead and I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be responsive to the change of the date. And I'm sure there's going to be people tomorrow who are going to be wondering why we're not having it this month. But hopefully they'll find out that we made a recording, so they can listen to that if they would like. All right, so let's unmute our microphones, please, and if you'd like to, anyway, and we can say our great prayer. This is for the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. We say this every day at noon, wherever we happen to be. It starts with the words compassion. We can begin together.
Compassion
encircles the earth. For all beings everywhere.
Great. Again?
Compassion circles the earth. For all beings everywhere.
Great. One more time. Compassion encircles the earth for all, everywhere. All right. Well, we love you. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us. We are on track for the third Thursday. So we look forward to seeing you on the third Thursday. That should work. And go forth and shine your light into the new 5 years.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Love. Happy New Year.
Bye. Have fun.
Bye. Bye.